But real quickly, by a show of hands, I'm looking around the room right now, and some of you are, I'm probably older than most of you, but I'm looking around the room, and how many of you share the experience in growing up where you grew in a household where there were a number of children, and you know something about, when it comes to clothing, you know something about hand-me-downs? Anybody in the house today? Amen. Yeah. So y'all know where I'm coming from today. I grew up in a household, y'all, with siblings, and there were six of us, but four of us were stair-stepped, one behind the other. Each year, my mother, bless her heart, she had a child. And so I have an older brother. He's 2 years older than I am. And so when we were growing up, you know, whatever clothing he got, it was handed down to me, whether I wanted it or not. That's what I had to wear. So I didn't have trouble looking for, well, what's my wardrobe going to be? What are the new things I'm going to get for the next year? It didn't work like that. Their clothes were handed down from my brother to me. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Same thing with my sisters, that the dresses were handed down from one sister to the next sister. That the Goodwill, y'all, the Goodwill was kind of out of luck in our household, our neighborhood, because we wore hand-me-downs. They would get a much, much ring. I had three friends, Red, Mike, and Ron. They were brothers. They were the Smith brothers. And every year, y'all, Red would get some new stuff. Red would be happy, but his stuff would be handed down to Mike. And after Mike got it, then Ron would get it. And Ron was just out of luck because Ron was out of fashion because he's 3-4 years behind. Because there were hand-me-downs in the house. The point is that in our house, Mama was the manager of hand-me-downs. And when it came to our hand-me-downs, they had certain qualities they had to fit, y'all. Certain criteria. They had to be in PJ, what's up? PJ, you busting me out. What's up, man? Good to see you in the house today. Amen. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. You made it. All right. Y'all, that's PJ. I remember when these children, y'all, they were just small, and they all grown up and everything, and I'm just so proud of y'all. But these clothing, y'all, let me get back to the subject. So it had to be certain qualities, and first it had to be in good condition, that Mama didn't let us go out looking any kind of way, that we couldn't go out, tow it from the floor up, that, you know, if it wasn't right, Mama was going to make it. It had to be in good condition, that we couldn't have, see, back then, we didn't have rips and tears and holes in our clothing. So that was bad back then. I know now, y'all, it's different now that you buy clothes off the shelf, off the rack. I mean, and they're expensive. They got rips and holes and tears in it right now. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. The mama had to sew some stuff up. She would sew it up, but it didn't have rips. It was in good condition. We had to represent the family well. Then it had to be the right fit. When I say right fit, you know, if you could wear it, you could wear it. She made sure it wasn't too tight, but sometimes there were some people in school, you could tell they had a hand-me-down because you look at them and you know, man, them pants, man, they high waters, man. them were my brothers, you know. Or maybe they might be too long. Like, man, that's a little bit too long for you, but it still fit. If it was clean, if it was in good condition, it was a right fit. It was fit for you, and so that was one of the qualities. But it also had to be in style. Again, in style meant it was clean, it was in good condition, you know, and it was a right fit. It was in style. We did not have fashions like some have today. They were out there, but we didn't get them. We didn't get Polo. We didn't get Gap. We didn't get Abercrombie and Fitch, however you say that. We didn't get that kind of stuff. And so children, if you got some Gap or some Polo, know that you are blessed today. Y'all, when I was growing up, man, the first time I got a pair of Converse, those Chuck Taylors in the house today. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I got me some Chuck Taylors because before that, we wore Bobos. Go to Fred's Dollar Store, Kent's Dollar Store, and you buy those Bobos. Bobo had a song. There was a song behind it. Bobos, they make your feet feel fine. Bobos, they cost $1.99. Bobos. Come get your Bobos today. I wore a whole bunch of Bobos, y'all. So in our lives, some of us know something about hand-me-downs. And probably to some degree, all of us do, because if you're my age or you're older, We probably have some hand-me-downs, some generational hand-me-downs. That maybe you've got an heirloom that mama or daddy passed down to you. Maybe it's some material possessions. It might be a diamond ring. It might be some fine china. We know something about hand-me-downs in the bigger sense. But the question is, I guess the answer to the question is what we can be grateful for are the things that mothers handed down to us that last us a lifetime. Things that are precious to us, more precious than diamonds, more precious than money and houses, more precious than a piece of property or land. And what is there that they can hand down to us that's so precious? I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We find the answer to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. About one verse, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing in a letter to Timothy, his son in the ministry, that Timothy was a son to the Apostle Paul, a protege, a mentor. He takes the time to say these words to him. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. And just so for the next few minutes, I want to encourage the hearts of many mothers and women here today from the thought, mama's hand-me-downs. Amen. Mama's hand-me-downs. So when we look at the life of Timothy, look here in the text and other places, we find that there were two women that were important in his life. There was his mother, Eunice. There was his grandmother by the name of Lois. That Timothy would have had a Jewish upbringing by these two women. And I believe that they would have lived by the letter of the law, that they practiced their faith in a way that influenced the life of this young child by the name of Timothy. That Eunice would have had the same upbringing from her mother Lois. So Lois passes it on to Eunice. And these two women worked together in the life of this young Timothy to make sure that he had a relationship with God. I can imagine that one day that Eunice meets this man. And she marries this man one day. The man happens to be a Greek man. We can find that from history that Timothy's father, he was a Greek while she was a Jew. So they did not necessarily practice the same faith. We're not given in text about the role of his father in his life. I imagine maybe, I don't know whether he would take him fishing and he would do things with him. Maybe he did some of the, but we don't know any of that. And so in a sense, he almost seems like a father that's absent. That Paul didn't mention his dad. He mentions his mother. He mentions his grandmother. That Timothy's faith came enlarged by these two women in his life. I wonder if we got some folk in the house today. Look at me, don't look around. Listen, I know you got grown children and your children have married somebody and you're grateful for the person that your son or your daughter married. You're grateful for that. I love my daughter-in-law. Amen. So it got real quiet. Why did it get so quiet on that one? But So the father thing, we don't know. But what we do know by what Paul says in the text is that listen, his mother and his grandmother had big influence in his life. That one day Timothy would grow up, the young age that Paul would see something in this young man and he would become Paul's protege. That he would be a mentor, Paul would be a mentor to him. We can kind of see that in the text. So at some point, Mama had to let go. Mama had to let him live his life. I hope we got some mothers in that today that hear that we have to let our grown children live their lives. And here's something I really believe. That when we instill the right values in our children, when we teach our children about the ways of God, and we release them, we can release them with a little bit more comfort and care, knowing we did the best that we could in rearing them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So here in the text, Paul is encouraging this young preacher. He's encouraging him in his faith. And he's letting him know why he's encouraging him, because he remembers the faith of his mother and his grandmother, a faith that was now in him. It was a hand-me-down faith. And so today we honor the mothers. We honor the grandmothers, big mamas, great-grandmothers, aunties, aunties, whatever you say, wherever you're from. We honor them today because of the faith that they handed down to us. We honor our mothers for handing down their faith. I found out something, and I think this is so true. Because we talk about handing down a faith. We're talking about growing up in a household and the influence that mothers and grandmothers and aunties have on their children and their grandchildren. I think about that, and I thought about something. You know, if Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. You hear what I said? If our faith, mothers and fathers, if it doesn't work at home, it really does not work. Because mothers and fathers, we are the ones to pass down our faith to our children. The greatest legacy you can leave with your children is a legacy of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My mama used to say, for real, I ain't raising no heathens in his house. And so we would get up and, truth be told, listen, on a Sunday morning, Daddy wasn't going to church. If Daddy was at home at all, don't get me wrong, I still love my father. I appreciate him that he became a mighty man of God. But at that time, Daddy wasn't at home a lot. And so we get up on a Sunday morning, y'all, and my grandfather would show up in one of the old station wagons with that wood paneling on the side. Y'all, he'd show up and we'd all jump in that big old rascal. All of my siblings, it was four of us at the time. The two came like 15 years later. I don't know what mom and daddy were thinking. Two came later. But we'd jump in that station wagon, y'all, and he'd drive us down to Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church on South Lauderdale in Memphis, Tennessee. And y'all, there, my grandmother and my great-grandmother, they would meet us at the car. We'd get out. They would hug us and kiss us. Anybody have any kissing grandmamas? I mean, they just slob on you anyway. Kiss you on your forehead. Kiss you on your... Wherever the lips land, that's where you got kissed. They would give us a big old kiss, and we'd go into church, y'all, and we would have church. We'd have Sunday school. We'd have something to eat afterwards. But they were a big influence in our lives, that they made sure that Christianity worked in our lives. That it was my great-grandmother that I would see her on Saturday mornings, y'all, when they had a little sundry store, a little neighborhood store. But every morning I'd go see her at 5 or 6 in the morning, and she'd have her Bible out. And she'd already have breakfast prepared for my dad. When I was about 12 or 13, I had to work in the store, y'all, on Saturday, on weekends. And so, but she'd sit there, and she'd be praying. And she'd be having that Sunday morning moan, with that tremble in her voice, y'all. And she'd have a word out, and she'd be reading. And she'd talk to me. She said, "Baby, the Lord is good." You know, she'd tell me, "Baby, keep the Lord in your life." You know, that she would preach and teach to me like none other. And that stuff stuck with me. I didn't want to hear it then. Brother Haynes, I didn't want to hear it then. But I'm so glad they told me. And I'm so glad they told me the truth then, because it stuck with me. The person that I am today in large is because of my mother, my great-grandmother, and my grandmother. That they are the Loises and the Eunices in my life. Anybody got some Loises and Eunices in the house today? Come on, can you thank God? Anybody got a living mother today? Can you praise God for the mother that God gave you? I realize, y'all, that some folk, listen, it's not like that for you. That perhaps you did not have that kind of mother in your life. But if you had that kind of father, thank God for the father that he gave you. If you had motherly influences in your life, thank God for those motherly influences that he gave you. And if you say, "Well, I didn't have either one of those," well, he gave you himself. That God was there for you. That God gave you love. God gave you comfort. Thank God for God. And so I believe this, that Christianity doesn't work if it's not working at home. And I said to the folk this morning, I thought about this. You know, when you rear a child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, when you rear them according to God's word and God's truth and you discipline them right, listen, it makes it easier for school teachers. I'm for real, though. I mean, some of y'all know some children, y'all. You know who's got a good home training and who does not. What are teachers in the house today? You know the ones. You know the ones that mom and them, they talk to their children. They discipline their children. They don't let them get away with anything. They don't let the me-me's and the pop-pop spoil them and give them everything they want. But they try to teach them values and what it looks like to be a responsible human being, a loving and caring human being. God, we can just bring out rear our children to be loving, responsible, caring human beings. And human beings that love God, man, you've done your job. I'm so grateful for the mothers that are doing that today. I'm so grateful for the Karens because I watched her. I watched her with Riri, and she don't let Riri get away with nothing. I be wanting to step in and say, you too hard on that baby. Leave that baby alone. But that's her mama. So I'm grateful for the Karens. I'm grateful for when I look around the room, those people that you rear your children in the fear and the admonition. You don't play games with them. You don't cut corners with your children. So let me give you just a few qualities, y'all, of godly mothers that leave this legacy of faith and hope, eternal security, and heavenly riches with their children. A few qualities that are necessary if mama's going to give her child the right hand-me-downs. What are the qualities of these hand-me-downs? Kind of like the clothing. The first one is simply this, that their faith, if they're handing down their faith should be in good condition. That Paul says, I remember your genuine faith. The King James says unfeigned faith. It's a sincere faith. It's a real faith, y'all. That in the writing of Paul is in prison. Paul has been mistreated. He's been talked about. People have turned their backs on him. 2 Timothy 14, it says, Demas has forsaken me for the things of this world. Timothy was his homeboy. He wrote with him all the way, but after a while he left Paul. But Timothy didn't do this. Timothy, he stuck with him. He stuck by his side, that he kept in contact with the Apostle Paul. Timothy had a sincere faith, a real faith, a genuine faith. That he had a faith that was handed down that did not have holes in his faith. That it was not a faith that was filled with duplicity. And I want y'all to know that children are looking. Children are listening. Children are watching. Whether you know it or not. When those words come out of your mouth, they heard the words. When you display those actions that are not godly, they see those actions. They know what's going on. A child knows better than anyone else if a parent is genuine in their faith. They may not say it, but they know. They know when we come to the house of God and you say, Hey, Miss Jones, how you doing? Oh, salt of the earth, good to see you. And they go home and you run Miss Jones down. And they hear you. That's not a sincere faith. That's not a genuine, that's duplicity. And I'm glad we have mothers here today that don't practice duplicity. The same person that shows up to 1111 Tally Road, that shows up to church, is the same person at home. I'm glad for mothers that practice what they preach, that they don't live a double life, that they come into the house of God, raise your hand, that you worship and you praise God, you adore, but you obey him too. And you obey his word. A mother whose faith is in good condition. A mother whose faith has to be unfeigned and sincere and genuine. That they handed down to Timothy a genuine, sincere faith. One of the easiest ways to wreck your child's life, listen to me, is to live a life of duplicity. That you tell them one thing, but you do another thing. I'm so grateful for the mothers that you don't operate in, you're not two-faced. That's what we call it in the country. You're two-faced. But you practice what you preach, and you're serious, dead serious, about your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you pass that down to your children, a faith that's in good condition. Not only should the faith be in good condition, y'all, you hand down a faith that's the right fit, that it fits your children well. I know some of y'all are thinking right now, how can I hand down that kind of faith? Because we know this, every person has to have a faith for themselves. That your children must grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and they must grow in their own faith, their own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can teach to them, we can teach them, we can preach to them, we can show them, we can read scripture, and all that's what we ought to do. But at some point, our children must grow up and have their own faith, the right faith for them. That Timothy had a faith that was a right fit, the right fit for him. That we have genetics and heredity, but you can't pass down a faith through genetics or through heredity. Right. That you pass down a faith by modeling what it looks like to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. that you're the parent that you take your children to church. That you're the type of parent that you sit down with your children, you pray it now. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That when it's time to eat, you model it. You sit down. Before you eat, you better bow your head. Let's say a word of prayer and thank God for the food that we're going to eat. That you have a Bible, perhaps, that they can understand on their terms, and you read the Word of God with them, Lord. You read the God for them. You read to them. Let them know. That's the kind of mothers I believe that we have in this day and era. The mothers that love God, that cherish their children, they teach them the ways of God. They give their children the opportunity to have a faith that's the right fit for them. I think about Timothy and how he had to have the right kind of faith, the right fit, that he was a young pastor. And I can only imagine the things that would come against him. But he had a strong faith. Because Paul said he had a strong faith, a genuine faith, a sincere faith. I think about David in the Old Testament and how David, y'all, was going up against Goliath. Everybody else was scared. They were trembling. They had no courage. But David stood up. David, a man of faith, he had his faith. And y'all remember how Saul tried to say, here's some armor to put on you. You go out there and fight him. We'll watch and see if you win or not. And David said, I don't need that stuff. That's not what I need. That David knew where his armor was. His armor was his faith in God. And so David goes out there with simply a slingshot and some rocks, and he kills a giant. Are you offering your children the opportunity to have the right kind of faith? A faith that will fit them. Because, listen, young people in the house today, children, we got any children listening in right now, you're going to grow up one day and you're going to know God for yourself. But what your mother and your father and your granny and them, what they plant in you, it will help you immensely. It will help you greatly. You're going to go up and know Jesus for yourself. And develop into a faith that's right for you. So these qualities of faith, it has to be in good condition, y'all. It has to be the right fit. And just like the clothing, y'all, it has to be the right style. In style. Now let me say this. Like I said with the clothing, in style for us, it was clean, it was in good condition, it might fit right, might be a little bit too big, a little bit too small, but listen, that was in style. So how does this apply to our faith? Because we live in a time and age where people love fashion, y'all. That fashion is a thing. This is 2025, and so the fashion, the clothes that you want some 2025 stuff. You don't want some 1970s stuff. I love me some lavender and some purple and some gators and, you know, and those are nice things. But this is 2025. Somebody say he's still wearing gators and purple and lavender and stuff today too. So I ain't talking about nobody. Yeah, some we be shy, be casket shy, be shy, y'all. Shut up, Kevin. Shut up. So how do you hand down, mothers? How do you hand down a faith that's in style? There's only one way I know to do it. And that's through offering your children the truth of the Word of God. Because I found out something. The Word of God, Scripture, it's never out of vogue. It's always in style. It's always on time. It's to wear the armor of God. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always in style. It's never out of style. It's always on time. 2 Timothy 3:15, it says this. Since childhood, Timothy has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That the Bible is always in style. The Word of God is always the right wardrobe to wear. And mothers, you are a part of the learning process, a big part of the learning process for your children. Some of the best preaching I've ever received, I told them this morning, is didn't come from a pulpit. Didn't come from a preacher. Some of the best preaching I received came from my mother, came from my grandmother and my great-grandmother. Anybody, mother used to say this to you, I'm doing this for your own good. So go get the switch. We got to take care of this. Go get the belt. Preaching, now we were talking about that this morning and back in the back, you know. So listen, if CPS is in the room today, it's Child Protective Services. some of us grew up, Tamika, some of us grew up, listen, when mama said go get that switch, You better not come back with some little bitty old thing saying, here you go, here you go. Now, you better come back with the right thing. If they have to get one, they're going to get one of them green ones that, you know, that bend the whole off. They leave them whips all over your body. You don't want to talk to your friends because you got they know you got beat. They know you got they know you got it good. You doing it. They know you got it. It's important though that we offer them a faith that's in style. That we speak the truth to them, that we preach the truth to them, others. You have to tell them this. I don't care what Johnny is doing. Yeah. I don't care what they do in their household. Right. If Johnny decides to jump off the bridge, you gonna follow him? Right. The day and age in which we live, you hear and you see so much. Some of us, we grew up old school. You just didn't talk back to your parents. Even if they were wrong, you didn't talk back to them. You just didn't. And I know we say, oh, they're just little human beings. They ought to be able to have a right to say what they want to say. That didn't go in my household. Whatever they said, that's what you did. As a matter of fact, listen, when they had grown-up conversations, you better not be anywhere around. And you better not open your mouth and intervene in the conversation. They would show you quickly, this is an A and B conversation. You better see your way out if they backhanding you. They said, boy, CPS, CPS, CPS. Some of y'all know something about having a shoe thrown at you. Some of y'all know about that belt. Some of you know about that switch. So a faith that's in style, I think it's a combination of teaching them the Word of God. It's a part of disciplining them as well in accordance with the Word of God. That there's nothing wrong with the rod sometime, minister. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the rod sometime, right, children? TJ looking like. but it's right, and we allow our children to grow up with the faith that will always be in style when we teach and preach the Word of God to them, when we show them, when we model it. It's just the right thing for us to do. I'm grateful for the mothers that, I'm almost done, y'all. I just want to encourage mothers today, because I believe that motherhood is one of the hardest jobs in the world. That mothers have to, I didn't know until I got the age I am how much energy children have. I didn't know a 2-year-old and a 3, that's a lot of energy, y'all. That's a lot. And they grow up real quickly with their own personality, their own way of being. And y'all got to try to handle all of that. And some of y'all work outside the house and all that. I don't know how y'all do it sometimes. It's a lot. You manage your household. You take care of you make sure the food is cooked. You make sure the children are clean, that they got clean clothes on, that they go to school. They do this and that. That's a job in itself. It's hard. It's hard. So I honor you today. I'm grateful for these mothers that hand down their faith to their children, the way they hand down those clothes to their children, that we hand down many things, that we hand down clothing. Sometimes we hand down material possessions and wealth and land and jewelry and china and all those, and that's okay. But the greatest thing that you can leave with your children, that you can hand down to your children, is a legacy of faith. Story of a little girl that comes to mommy. She's frantic. I said, mommy, you remember that china dish, that big one, you know, that was in the cabinet? You remember that one that was handed down from grandmama and them, and you got it now? You remember that one? She said, yeah, I remember that. She said, well, this generation just dropped it, mama. She's saying, look, we broke it. I broke it. I had it in my hands, I had it in my possession, but I dropped it. What am I saying to you today? It's one thing to have silver, to pass down silver and gold and jewelry and watches and material possessions, but don't dare drop your faith in God. As you hand it down to your children and they hand it down to their children, don't drop it. Don't drop the Word of God in your household. Don't drop Scripture. Don't drop prayer in your household. Pray with your children. Don't drop reading the Word of God. Read the Word of God with them. Don't drop the right behavior, the way of being and modeling before you. Don't drop that. Hold on to your faith. Pass it down to your children, mothers. Leave a legacy of faith with them, a legacy of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've done that, you've done the best you can. Then Mama Tony done the right thing with a daughter Peyton. I know Sister Jerry is here. Mother Jerry, where you at? Mama's done right by daughter Diamond. Then mothers, I'm looking around here today and you got children with you today. Mother Jones, done right by your children. So one day we won't be here, but there's a God that will take care of them. The God will hold them up. And that's the greatest legacy. Hear me today. Leave a legacy of faith with your children. When we are here no more, God will take them up. God will be with them. So it's important that we have the right kind of hand-me-downs that we give to our children. I'm so grateful for Mama Nim, for Mama and Big Mama. And I'm so grateful for you because you did the right thing by your children, that you showed them what it looked like to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Let's praise God for our mothers in the house today. I just wanted to encourage mothers today. I thank God for Mama Nim. I thank God for Mama Nim. Mama Nim, I thank God for you. I thank God for you today. And I thank God for the legacy that you're leaving with your children. Pray with me now as we prepare to close. God, we thank you so much for this day, this Sunday. God, as we look at the example of Eunice and Lois, and how they reared young Timothy. And he became a great man of faith. God, thank you for the mothers. Thank you for parents that are instilling biblical, scriptural values in their children, because they'll have to go out into a world that is godless, that does not name the name of Jesus Christ. That many will go off to college and they will be college educated in the philosophies of this world and worldviews. God, may they all stay in you, because there are children that are reared the right way and they go into these courses and classes and they come out and they come home trying to tell mama that God ain't real. The devil is a lie. So God, help them to hold on to what you instill in them, the truth of your word, biblical and Christian values. Thank you, God, for the mothers that hand down their faith first and foremost. And we thank you for them. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, can we give God praise one more time? Hallelujah. And so perhaps you have someone here today, you don't have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, but the choice that you make in this world, the choice that you make now, will determine where you spend the rest of your eternity. Your rest of your eternity. Will you spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory in heaven, or will you spend it separated from him, the place the Bible says is hell? You make that decision. You make that choice. I implore you, I beg you, make the right choice. Choose Jesus today. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we admit that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible said that saves us, that settles it. Does it mean we're perfect? No. But it becomes a starting point in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you are here today, and you heard what I just said, and you feel an unction in your heart to know more about this Jesus, listen, our ushers are standing there in the aisles right now. They're standing with their hands extended. They're inviting you now to go to room number 1, where you will meet a new member ministry advisor. If you need further explanation about the gospel, they'll tell you about that. If you need further explanation about the church, they'll talk to you about that. But you need to be connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ. If not this church, some church. And so we invite you today. Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Won't you come right now? Their hands are extended. Their hands are extended. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now? Let me free.